once I realized that the significant gap in the knowledge gap here, I knew there was an incredible opportunity to fill that knowledge gap. And by doing so, improve the fortunes of both me, my partners, and my community of investors.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
What's going on, everyone? I'm Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. Welcome back to another Multifamily Monday episode, and we've got two guests actually that we're interviewing on this show. This was a really fun show. These two individuals, there's actually three partners, only two of them were able to be on the show today, but this group, they're Excite Capital. They've been able to acquire over $100 million in multifamily assets over the last about just under 2 years. They've been able to do that, which is crazy. It's really phenomenal. And they've been able to do that. They get into it. They've been able to do that through partnering and partnerships and also leveraging their personal networks. Two of them are in the healthcare system. One of them is a doctor. And the other one who isn't here is also in healthcare, and they work together. And then the third individual who also was on the show came from an IT background. And so these three have partnered together, leveraged their expertise, their strengths, to really build an awesome company. And we get into a lot of good stuff, how to build awesome key relationships with brokers, how to just stick it out and keep underwriting until you find that deal. And then again, how to partner with other people who are doing the business. Because again, that's what this business is about, is partnership. Really rare to find someone that's really doing it all on their own. It's all about partnerships. And find someone who's doing what you want to do and bring them value and partner with them. And on top of it, they get into how they leverage their network to be able to raise money and close on these deals. So I'm about to bring on our guests. We've got Dr. Julius Oney and Tenny on this show, and it's a really good one. So let's introduce these two gentlemen. All right, gentlemen, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on today, taking time out of your busy schedules. Really appreciate you jumping on here.
Thank you for having us. We really appreciate it, Sean.
Absolutely.
And we were just talking offline, and yeah, you guys are crushing it. 100 million in assets under management, focusing on similar target markets as we are at Greenbrier. So let's just get right into it. I'm excited about this, and just figured out that Dr. Julius over here is still operating. He just came out of a case. So this guy is a busy guy. So I really appreciate you jumping on. Whoever wants to start, give your background, where you came from, and how you got to where you are today.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I guess I'll get started. So I am Julius Oney, Dr. Julius Oney. I am the CEO and co-founder at Excite Capital. And with me today is my very dear friend and co-founder, Mr. Tenny Tolofari, who's also our director of acquisitions. Unfortunately, we weren't able to have him here today because he's still busy. But third partner, Leslie Awesome, who's our director of operations, is the third leg of the tripod that kind of keeps Excite going. At Excite Capital, we syndicate and collaborate with our community of investors to invest in cash flowing multifamily assets in our target markets, which currently are in the Carolinas and in Georgia. In the last 18 months, we've had the good fortune of acquiring significant assets under management totaling about $107 million. And we are currently under contract with a 113-unit, $17.45 million acquisition also in Columbia, South Carolina submarket. And so we're super excited about the trajectory of our growth, and we are looking forward to getting into the details and discussing it with you for sure.
That's awesome. So what got you into real estate? What, obviously, you're a doctor, so that you have that background, but how did you transition into what you're doing today in multifamily?
So great. Well, I'll talk a little bit about my background. I'll let Tenny take it over from...
go for it.
So for me, obviously, I was born and raised in Nigeria. I came into the U.S. and just wanted to figure out how to achieve my American dream. And going through college, I eventually figured out that I wanted to be a doctor and was fortunate to get into medical school, went straight through. I was fortunate to match into orthopedic surgery. So I went through my training at NYU and and subsequently trained at Rush in Chicago as a joint replacement surgeon. So, I mean, up until when I started working as an orthopedic surgeon, there was really no thoughts about any other possibilities. I mean, we as doctors in general are conditioned to be worker bees. We are conditioned to focus solely on our patients, which we do. We do a great job at, but we are notoriously not great at taking care of anything else outside of work. And I was very much that when I started working. I obviously, for the first time in a long time ever, started making a pretty fat salary. And I couldn't believe how amazing this was.
Right.
And so ultimately, as being a doctor, there are going to be a lot of different opportunities that come your way. And I started to explore this opportunity. I started out with single family, bought my first home in 2015. I started practice in 2013. We're not going to talk about what happened in 2 years before 2015, but eventually I got my act together and bought my first home in 2015. And at that point, the goal was to hopefully acquire a single family home over the next couple of years, one every year, and hopefully create this large portfolio of single family homes and enjoy the cash flow from those. I quickly realized that after acquiring the first two of them, that I was a very bad landlord and that I didn't really enjoy the process of dealing with tenants or of interacting with, having to deal with all the complaints they had. Around the same time, I got introduced to angel investing. My younger brother runs a startup. He finished at MIT and then started a diagnostic center startup where they build in diagnostic centers and delivering significant quality to people sub-Saharan Africa. So I got into angel investing that way and started to invest in different companies, but quickly realized that that is no surefire way to create long-term wealth, because the risks are relatively high and the rewards are incredible too, if you're lucky to invest in a unicorn in the early stages. So I started to explore other options. So single family rentals didn't really work out for me. Angel investing, I was relatively doing fairly well at it, but it was still not that cash flowing source of wealth that I was hoping for. And around that time, I met my partner, Leslie Awesom. At that time, I'd actually already started the company, XI Capital, with Tenny Tolofari. And they had approached me to invest in a particular deal. So I'd blown it off, just like, because as a doctor, you get inundated by different investment opportunities all the time. And I just felt like it just seemed a little too good to be true and didn't really make any sense to me. But truly, I really think paid that significant attention to the details of it. I just kind of did a cursory look at it and it just didn't seem very interesting. So I kept on moving. Ultimately, I think at some point during COVID, at the peak of COVID, March 2020, all of a sudden everything was shut down. Yeah. I was reading a lot of books, you know, trying to figure out what I was going to do with my time because I'm not used to not having nothing to do. And I ran across that same deck that they had sent me, and I started reading it in significant details. And I'll let Tenny take it over from that point on.
Let's hear it.
And then he bought the company. That's the end of it. Great job, Julius. Thank you for, you've kind of basically shared everything about the company. I'll just introduce myself real quick. I'm one of the co-founders, director of acquisition. My background is in cybersecurity, IT. I came to the US as well as Julius. I grew up in Nigeria, had an engineering degree, came here for grad school, graduated from Bowie State, and then I started working the corporate job. And I realized quickly that the corporate job wouldn't really get you there. So I started a financial services company. I recruited over 100 agents. And then in the process, I met Leslie. At that point, I only had my personal residence as the real estate asset that I had. I really didn't have any investment property. So when I met Leslie, Leslie was like, oh, wow, I do real estate. I know how to do it. I said, listen, I know sales. We started a company and then we started struggling. Just like Julius mentioned, we've been trying to walk our way to build a company, but we needed somebody that can help us move it to the next level. So we approached Julius. I remember it very well. Leslie came to me. I was like, man, there's this guy that's in my operating room. That guy is going to be our partner someday. I'm like, I don't know what you're smoking. I don't know what you're talking about. But I don't know that this person you're talking about. But anyways, fast forward later on in March of 2020, Leslie called me. I was like, hey, listen, remember that individual I told you about, the doctor in my hospital? He wants to talk to us about our company. And then, you know, we all just got on a call. We spent about 2 hours on the phone talking about the business. And the synergy was just there. Our vision was clear. And we started working together. Since Julius joined, Leslie and I, all of us put our forces together. We've been able to acquire $107 million of asset under management. So we're just grateful for where we are and the people we're bringing along with us.
And what Tanya forgot to mention is that I quickly realized after reviewing that deck that this was real. Mm-hmm. And that the incredible opportunity to grow wealth at an accelerated pace with multifamily was real. That the tax advantages of investing in real estate was real, that it was real for people like us, healthcare professionals, just cybersecurity professionals, finance professionals, education professionals can pull our money together and buy this large assets that each one of us can purchase by ourselves. And by just working hard at it and making ourselves uncomfortable now, we have the potential to truly buy our time freedom, our geographical freedom, our financial freedom in the future, not just for us, but for people in our community. So, and when I say our community, I really refer to our community of healthcare professionals, our community of underrepresented minorities, our community of professionals in general. So it was just mind blowing to me that, well, if I could combine forces with these two dynamic gentlemen, then we really can go out and learn a whole lot about this and hopefully at some point be able to invest in it. And another thing I truly enjoyed about multifamily was as soon as I met my partners, a strain of personal development automatically comes with it. Automatically, I started reading tons of books, podcasts. I went through Joe Fiala's Apartment Syndication book, The Wheelbarrow Profit by Jake Stanziano and Gino Barbaro, a bunch of podcasts. We quickly got introduced to Vic Raya and Ravi Gupta, who were very inspiring to me because I saw them as people just like me who were active in practice and we're doing fantastic things in multifamily. So once I was able to see it, we were going to be able to do it. And the rest is history, as they say.
Now, that's great. And it's a great story because in a short period of time, you've been able to acquire that much of assets under management. It's just, that's impressive. So hats off to both of you and your other partner. You briefly touched on it, but why multifamily? Because you were in single family. You're obviously doing some venture capital stuff, startup stuff. And I'm sure you had a lot of other things thrown your way, both of you. Why multifamily? Why do you feel that's the best way to build wealth, produce cash flow?
That's a great question. Well, real estate in general is where the vast majority of wealthy folks and wealthy entities either create wealth or old wealth. That's a given. That's a fact, right?
Yeah.
So, and for the vast majority of us, particularly in our communities, what we know as real estate that's accessible to us is single family. So when I started to look at the potential returns that multifamily properties can generate, and the fact that these buildings or this apartment communities are literally just treated like business, the loans that you were getting for them are not necessarily based on your personal credit worthiness. It was based on the revenues that or the net operating income of that property. That's really what determined the value of the property. So it literally just exposed me to a completely different world that I never was exposed to. And for a long time, I was starting to get to a place in my practice where I was in practice for 7 years. I was starting to get to that place where I kind of knew what I was doing. And I didn't feel like I was growing that much more in just in general. And this just opened me to a complete new world where I felt like a student again. So that's why I was one. But multifamily, why multifamily? The incredible wealth growth opportunities in it. The fact that it was a tangible asset. It was a great edge against inflation, right? Because regardless of what happens with inflation, rents typically go up with inflation, right?
Right.
And also the incredible tax benefits. When I learned about cost segregation studies and the depreciation opportunities with that, my mind was completely blown. And so all those things combined together, and the fact that I knew that I actually did a straw poll of people like my friends that I went to medical school with or that I did residency with. And the vast majority of them did not know anything about multifamily or the possibility of even investing in it. So once I realized that the significant gap in the knowledge gap here, I knew there was an incredible opportunity to fill that knowledge gap. And by doing so, improve the fortunes of both me, my partners, and my community of investors.
That's awesome. And that's the reasons I'm in it as well. Great way to build wealth, and the tax benefits, cost effective. And yeah, it's a tangible asset. And then along with your point on inflation too, there's many aspects why it's great for inflation. Yeah, and Tenny, go ahead.
I was just going to add economy of scale. I think that was a really big one for us as well when we thought about going into multifamily. Because like Julius had mentioned earlier, buying one, two, managing it becomes a headache or a nightmare. But when you buy bigger properties, you have substantial amount of income coming in to be able to hire a professional property management company to help take care of the property. So economy of scale was a big one for us as well when we thought about a multifamily.
That's a great point. You can afford not only the property management, but the staff on site, which makes a world of difference in managing an asset. But talking about scale, how have you guys been able to do it? 100 million since March 2020. That's crazy.
I think that's a testament to the power of community, period.
Yeah.
Obviously, initially, when we came out, we partnered up with Viking Capital.
Yep.
And our first acquisition was the Griffin. It was a 49 unit and $20 million acquisition in downtown DC.
Oh, nice.
And that was a great learning experience for us because we were at the opportunity to sit in on the asset management calls to actually raise for the first time and start talking to investors while leveraging the strengths of Vic and Ravi and the Viking Capital group. And so we literally, that was an introduction to really acquisition of assets. And it was a great, fantastic learning opportunity. And guess what? It took us over a year from the point of raising from that to actually acquiring our own property as a lead sponsor and lead general partner. And that was the 132 unit acquisition, which we did in Columbia, South Carolina also. It was like a $12.5 million acquisition. Those 1 year, we didn't really stop. We literally were, an incredible thing happened. Tenny, who we call Tenacious Tenny, sold his home in DC, moved his family to Charlotte, North Carolina.
Wow.
He told us, it was like, to be competitive, we have to have boots on the ground. And it's like, how can anyone be more competitive than me if I'm actually on the ground? It was incredible to us. We're like, well, okay, well, go for it. Go do it. And he did it. And he's the master of interacting with brokers because he was literally knocking on the brokers' doors, calling them all the time, interacting with them. I mean, doing soft, hard diplomacy, whatever was needed to get us the deal flow that we needed to get the deals Tenny did. And so he was key in that regard. And then eventually started to have some deal flow. And obviously the brokers would kind of send you some bottom of the barrel deals initially, and then we'll underwrite them, send back to them why these deals did not work for us and why it didn't pencil, why it didn't really necessarily fit our criteria. And then it slowly but surely within a couple of months, they would send maybe middle of the barrel deals to us. And once again, we'll get back to them quickly. This is why this doesn't pencil for us. This is why this deal does not fit our criteria. We really appreciate you giving us the opportunity. We look forward to underwriting future deals from you. And soon enough, somebody took a chance on us and was like, listen, we're going to give you this deal and it was an off-market opportunity. There were like a couple of companies that had an opportunity to review it. And we underwrote it and it penciled beautifully. And we couldn't believe it. We celebrated that initially. And then we put in the offer. And initially, we actually lost it to one other deal because of they had a little more experience and they had more credibility with the seller. And at some point, they pulled out, maybe about a month or 6 weeks in, and we got a call.
That's awesome.
Just saying, hey, guys, if you want to take another shot at it. And we said, say no more. And we went out there, found the key principal, took down the deal with a community of investors. At that point, we had spent almost a year educating and accumulating a group of investors in our community that truly believed in us and believed in the mission of Excite Capital. And so it was not very difficult to raise. We actually overraised on the deal.
Oh, wow.
We returned some money back.
Yeah. And it was a $5 million raise. We couldn't believe we raised $5 million in under 30 days.
When that's
we
impressive.
We were like completely floored.
Right.
I mean, we were fortunate to have a community of other young companies and general partners that we were able to leverage also for the raise. But Excite Capital itself raised about $3 million of that.
So it was impressive.
Incredible. And once we closed on that, then we got another opportunity to partner with Viking Capital again on a 400-unit deal in South Bend, Indiana.
Nice.
And we did that. And now we have another deal on the contract. So by the end of this deal, we'll have about $125 million on the contract, asset under management.
Congrats. That's impressive. So in a year.
Thank you.
2 years still. That's very impressive that you're at 125 million. So Tanny, what are the secrets of dealing with brokers? What's your secret sauce?
There's no secret sauce. It's just relationship.
Yeah.
When we started, we made known that the way you get deal is a couple of ways. One, you go through reaching out to sellers directly. You go on maybe Yada Matrix or go on some of the sites that host the database for owners of properties and reach out to them directly. You go to CoStar and stuff like that and get those information. Or two, you go to the brokers because they said 80% of all deals that transact in any market being sold by a broker. So we thought about it like, do we want to go to the sellers directly or we should go to the brokers that have the deal? So we decided to go to the brokers and started building a relationship with them. Basically, how the process works, you reach out to them, like Julius mentioned, they blow you off because they receive a lot of calls. You have to look for a way to differentiate yourself from the crowd. And what does that mean? It means you have to call them, you have to visit them, you have to talk properties with them, you have to underwrite the deal, you have to provide feedback, and you have to put in offers on deals. The more offers you put on deals, the more serious they see you to be. And most importantly, you want to talk the deals with them as well. So just doing that again and again and again and again and again, sometimes become very, very daunting. You'll be like, man, like Julius mentioned, when it penciled, we were like, are you kidding me? A deal actually penciled?
It's getting harder and harder to find that.
You understand what I'm saying? At this point, we're underwriting over 100 deals, over 100 deals, and no one was penciling. And Leslie said, because Leslie does a lot of writing, he's like, yes, this deal actually penciled. I was like, run it again. Let's ask questions. Because now it was kind of, when are we going to get it? But anyways, get back to your point. It's just more about building a relationship with them, showing them that you're serious. And when they give you a shot, make sure you run with it. It's as simple as this. We told them we're going to get on the deal. We're going to close on a particular date. We did exactly what we said we're going to do. So because of that, they take us seriously now.
No, that's great. And I think one of the good points that you brought up is giving feedback, whether it's a deal that pencils or not. I feel like there's a lot of people out there that if it doesn't pencil, they just don't say anything and move on. And then once they find one, then that's when they reach out. And in my opinion, that's a poor way to build a relationship, right? You're only reaching out with the good ones. And then you're like, I want. And that's not, it goes two ways. And so I like that you brought that up. That's really important. And the fact that you're in the market. So what I do is I fly to my market. So I don't live there, but I go fly and then see them. But you got a leg up on me on that one.
That's another way to do it. I mean, we do fly in for the due diligence.
Yeah.
As a group. Yeah. And we're right there with the property managers doing the due diligence and checking the rent rolls and all the things that are necessary to make sure that we are doing what we need to do to present these deals confidently to our group of investors. And we also always have skin in the game for every single one of our deals. So being there for due diligence and really feeling, seeing, knowing the property well, it's one of those things that we do to make sure that we're 150% confident that we are presenting the right deal to our investors.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's important too. And like you were saying before, underwrite 100 to find that one. And that's where the sweet spot is, maybe even a little more. But yeah, so for the listeners out there, don't get discouraged because you're not going to get your first one. You're not going to underwrite your first one and get a deal. That doesn't work like that.
Absolutely. It's tough, especially in this current climate of compressed cap rates and just a lot of capital floating in the market. It's really hard to find a good deal, but there are still a lot of good deals out there. So you just got to keep underwriting them and ultimately you're going to find one. We definitely found one in the current deal we got.
That's awesome. So you're in Columbia, South Carolina, correct?
Yeah, Columbia, South Carolina. Yep.
That's awesome. I recently toured one. We got outbid on that one, but yeah, I like that market. Columbia is great.
It's awesome. And trust me, prior to this deal, we were best and final on a ton of different
deals. A ton of deals.
We felt like, man, are we going to get another one again soon? But then once again, we were best and final on this one again. We lost it to another group, another off-market opportunity. That group ended up pulling out and it came back to us. So I think we're just master of taking deals that we are second on. That's what we find.
Hey, you still get it though. So
I know.
It doesn't matter. I think that goes to the point of building relationship too, because when it falls through, they think of you. So Absolutely. That's very powerful.
Absolutely.
That's a really good point Julius mentioned, because when we lost the deal, like we did everything. Like we did everything you could think about to win the deal, to secure the deal. We actually went and did our due diligence on the property with our property management company. We thought it was all completed, like we sealed this one. And then broker came and said, there's this other group that wants to do this and blah, blah, blah. Well, okay, cool. And I was kind of devastated because I was there with the broker. I was having a call with him like every day, a couple of times a day. I was really, really disappointed. I called my partners and they're like, dude, it's okay. I felt sick, actually, because of the disappointment. My partner was like, don't worry about it. Just do your thing and another one will come. So the next day, I called the broker. Just called him up the blues with a great attitude. And I'm like, okay, you know what? Let's keep on moving. Let's go on to the next one. And I think maybe that kind of helped it a little bit when he thought about, when the deal fell through the other group, he thought about us again, because I continued to be on him. You know, we continued to have conversation with him. And when the deal came back, he just brought it to us.
Yeah, I think it's just so, so important to stay positive through all of this. Because obviously, if it's for the faint-hearted, everybody will be doing it.
Yep.
And one of the things that stops a lot of people from actually taking action and taking down these deals and participating actively in acquisition of large real estate like this is that they just feel like the barrier to entry is way too high.
Yeah.
And disappointments like this are guaranteed. But one thing about this market or this asset class is that you're going to face disappointment quite a bit. You're going to hear a lot of no's. There are going to be a lot of doors shut in your face. But the few doors that are going to open are going to be the keys to unlocking incredible wealth and success for you and your investors. So you just got to keep pressing on. And that was our mindset. Regardless of what happens, if this deal doesn't work out, then maybe the universe has another deal lined up for us down the road. So we just kept pushing and things have worked out beautifully.
I love it. Yeah, one foot in front of the other. Just keep going. And Absolutely. That's what has worked for us, right? We're same boat where you just kept get beaten up on best and finals. And then one finally sticks. And then like you alluded to earlier, then they take you seriously. They know you can execute. They know you can transact. They know you can close on a deal. So then you're a serious player. And it's funny how it spreads throughout the broker network too. As soon as you close on your first, then you have people you never talked to reaching out to you, showing you deals.
Absolutely. Yeah, and we've experienced it and it's incredible, incredible. It also helps to bolster your confidence too when that happens, because you now realize that you're definitely on the right path and you're just encouraged to continue.
Right. So what's the future for XI Capital? What does that look like?
We have very, very bold dreams and a large vision. Our goal is to, one, educate as many people in our communities as we can to at least be aware. You may not even be able to invest today, or you may not even be interested in investing today, but you need to be aware that multifamily real estate is possible for you, and that it is possible for you to participate tangibly in acquiring or at least co-owning this asset class. And now if you want to partner with us to do it, fantastic. If you want to partner with other people, at least we are growing, we are educating you to grow your wealth in ways that you did not realize before. So that is incredibly important to us. That's one. Second, we are going to acquire a lot of apartment communities in the near term, middle term, and long term. And our goal is to acquire at least $5 billion of real estate asset under management by 2027. And I think we may even be thinking small for that. With that, I believe with all of my heart that we are on a trajectory and we have not really seen anything yet. The possibilities are endless. And if the past few months is anything to go by, just by the groundswell of support, the groundswell of interest that I'm seeing in our current investor community and the network surrounding, future is incredibly bright. I just feel incredibly lucky to be partnering up with this incredible individuals who I call my partners, and to be partnering up with our community of investors to take down these properties. I just feel incredibly thankful for that. For a long time, I didn't think I was going to ever find anything that I loved as much as I love replacing people's hips and knees. But I do think I found a second love with regards to at least a profession. I love real estate. I love the idea of educating people about financial wellness and financial freedom and opening people's eyes into figuring out ways to achieve that goal that we all have of doing what you want to do with whoever you want to do it, when you want to do it. And so I've been enlightened by my knowledge of multifamily real estate. And just by sharing that education that I got with other people, by it's providing significant value for them. And they are rallying around us three. And we are creating something incredibly special. So thank you.
That's phenomenal. And now you have me feeling like my goals are too small. I want to have $1 billion in assets. Now you have me feeling I'm thinking too small.
Well, 2027 is far. You could do $1 billion next year. Why not? You know, Sean.
Right.
You've got the ability to. What happens is that, yes, we may not do $1 billion next year, but it's exponential growth, right?
Right.
You do $100 million now, you do $300 million next year, and the following year, you may be able to do $600, $700, $800 million, and then it shoots up. I mean, Viking Capital is on an incredibly impressive growth trajectory, and they just started in 2015.
Yeah, it's, what are they at? Like $600
million? They're $600 million or more. It's incredible. And the beautiful team sport. So you just got to have the right partners, collaborate, and keep going.
So true.
I think there's like some future collaborations coming.
I love it. Hey, I feel the synergy.
Absolutely. We're in the same market.
Right. It only makes sense.
Absolutely.
Why fight against each other when we can just combine forces?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you want to go fast, go by yourself. You want to go far, go with others. That's our motto.
Right.
Love it. Well, gentlemen, this has been a phenomenal show. I usually ask two questions at the end. One, why multifamily to build wealth? But we already answered that. But the second one is, if you had a time machine back to future style, if you could get your DeLorean up to, what is it, 84, 85 miles per hour? People are going to be mad that I'm screwing that up. But anyways, say you're able to go back in time and talk to your younger self, what would be one piece of financial advice that you would give to yourself?
Tanny, you want to go first?
I wish I had started real estate earlier. That's the advice I was going to give myself, because I didn't start looking into, I'm 36 right now. I didn't start looking into real estate until I was like 34. 33. In my 20s, I would have paid more attention to real estate and start thinking about investing. By now, I think with the kind of mind that I have and the guts and everything that I have, I think I'll be doing pretty good for myself and my family and people around me.
You are doing pretty good for yourself. Everybody around you. You talk about better for yourself?
Better.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyways, for me, it would be your money in the bank is losing money. Yeah. For those of us that grew up with humble beginnings, I always thought that the goal was to stack as much money and save as much money in the bank as you can. But really, when you think about it, if you have $200,000 in the bank and you literally keep that $200,000 in the bank for the next 5 years, that money has lost significant value with inflation. Inflation is at least 2-3%. Nowadays, it's like what? 6-8% maybe?
Yep.
And so if you're not putting that money to work, you're losing money. And when I found that out and I discovered that, yeah, quickly I went to my savings and just like started investing as aggressively as I could. And I actually make it a duty now not to have anything more than 100K in That's my smart. Savings account, because it makes no sense, especially when you have great assets that you can invest in, that you have potentially great businesses that you can invest in. You will come out on top every single time if you invest smartly over time. That's how the greats have created wealth over time. That's how the future greats are going to create wealth over time.
Yep. And the sad thing is we're not taught that. So most people don't know that, which is really unfortunate.
Absolutely.
Well, gentlemen, this has been a phenomenal episode. I really appreciate your time. Before I let you go, where can everyone find you both?
Thanks. They could find us at excitecapital.com. That's X-S-I-T-E capital.com. And you could email me at juliusoni@excitecapital.com. And Tanny, what's your email?
At steepilofari@excitecapital.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you both again. This has been a really awesome episode. I know the listeners are going to get a lot of value out of it. So thank you for taking time out of your schedule.
Thank you so much, Sean. It was such a pleasure to be on here with you. And we look forward to talking to you again soon. And maybe collaborating.
Let's do some deals.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's do some deals, man.
All right, gentlemen. Take care.
Take it easy.
And listeners, I'll catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and, of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.